Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
If you have a Bible, why don't you open up with me to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. As you're turning and finding Ezekiel, I want to say thank you to Dr. Aiken for inviting me here. I'll be back also in the fall. And want you guys to know that we believe at Hickory Grove, we believe in what the Lord is doing at Southeastern. We have lots of students here from our church. We have guys on our staff that are students here. In fact, I rolled up with a car full of guys that are all of them graduates, or Casey soon to be graduate and Ryan soon to be graduate. And I have people here that we sent from Dolphin Way Baptist Church back in Mobile. So thank the Lord for all that God is doing here. Thankful for you, Dr. Aiken, and your professors, your colleagues. You guys are going to help me finally give me a vacation at Hickory Grove. Going to fill in for me. So thank the Lord for that. If you have a Bible and you have Ezekiel 37, would you stand, please? We'll read together God's Word. Ezekiel 37, we're going to start in verse 1. We'll go down through to verse 10 with the understanding that verse 11 and following sort of explain the vision. Grass withers and the flowers, they'll fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's begin in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy. You can understand that as preach. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel in verse 5 makes a good choice. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you. I will make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I preached, I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and bones came together, and a bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, look at this bizarre verse. Their sinews were on them, and flesh grew on them, and then skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, preach, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they might come to life. Verse 10. So I preached, I prophesied. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. They came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Join me as we pray. Lord, the task that you've put before me is greater than my ability. For the tremendous worship we had this morning, thank you, Lord. For songs that are theologically sound and centered on Christ, that lift our hearts to the Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord, I pray you'd give direction to prospective students and their families this week. Pray you would solidify a call. Lord, I pray that you would use the men and women in this congregation to bring honor to Christ and the gospel to the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 7.5 years ago, I walked around the neglected grounds of a church called Dolphin Way Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. In fact, there are some students here from that church. It's a church with a long and glorious history. But at that time, when I went to visit in 2004, it had an uncertain and sketchy future. At one point in her life, if you're a church nerd like I am, and you guys that are preachers, you're church nerds, you think about church all day. One point in her life, Dolphin Way was this large and thriving legacy kind of congregation. Maybe sometimes on a good Sunday, if you had the right counter, you could pick up 2,000 people. But as churches sometimes do, church had fallen on hard times. In fact, it had fallen apart. And when they contacted me as a prospective pastor, they were in a desperate spot. It's the only way I could get them to call me. They were desperate. She was a decaying skeleton of what she once was, a shadow of her former self. And so I went on a visit, and as I walked the grounds and through the beautiful but decaying facilities, looking at the desolation, Dr. Aiken, you've probably been there before, looking at the desolation, the question rang through my heart, Clint, can this church live again? That's why this text is so dear to me. You see, Ezekiel finds himself in a similar, albeit exponentially more intense, situation. And he's asked the question. The same kind of question that most of you will be asked at some point. Do you believe that God can and will move in your ministry? In this text, as we're going to unfold it together and we'll sort of run through it, we're going to find out that God takes, some of you are living this, God takes what seems impossible and He will make it a reality. Now let's go through this together and we'll just start with the first couple of verses. You'll notice in the first couple of verses that it is good. It is good to have a real picture of the situation that you're in. Those of you guys that are dealing with pulpit committees, let me just look at me. They will lie to you, all right? You understand that? You're dealing with a pulpit committee, you're not getting the whole story. But Ezekiel got the whole story. In the text, we see Ezekiel living in Israel's darkest hour. His ministry covered more than 20 years of her exile, and here we find him walking through the valley of bones. Her dynasty is past. Her glory is gone. Where glory once was, Ichabod now reigns. You can feel and sense and see the despondency of this exiled nation. In fact, it's pictured in this vision in verses 1 and 2. He's taken to what seems to be a desert valley. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me down in the middle of the valley. We don't know what valley it was, and it was full of bones. And He caused me, He pushed me to walk around in them, in verse 2. Behold, there were very many on the floor of the valley, and they were dry. We don't know what happened there. Maybe it was a battlefield. Maybe it's just a vision he had. Whatever the location, the sight of the bones suggests the remains of a major catastrophe. In fact, when we get over to verse 11, I'll just call your attention to it. In verse 11, we find out that these bones picture the state of Israel. The picture is one of death and all of its horror and finality and intensity. I mean, you get the picture. Bodies are strewn out. They're not even connected. You might have a femur over here and a collarbone over here, just spread out across the desert floor. Flesh long since decayed, bones are bleached white by the sun. It's an eerie. I mean, when you read it slowly, it is an eerie picture. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that it is a familiar picture of the spiritual landscape that we live in. Whatever community you're from, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and all throughout Charlotte, dead churches can be found. It can be difficult places to minister in, difficult places to worship in. I mean, some of you that have tried to, maybe you've moved to a town or come from a town and you move into another community, it's hard to find a church. In fact, some of you seminary students, still looking. Don't you have to sign something? You better find one quick. Still looking for a church. How many churches in Charlotte that I know of that are very close to dying? Part of it, it's not all of it, but part of it, the excuse will be, well, the neighborhood has changed. The neighborhood changed and the church did not, so you've got 19 aging Caucasians meeting in this facility while the community around it is filled with black families. They're dying. You know, it used to be the idea was, well, when the community changed, we'll just pick the church up and move it out where all the white people are. Dr. Hagen, can I say this, Dr. Hagen? Okay, thanks. Thankfully, that idea is changing in that maybe God put the church in the community for a reason to reach the community. Churches. It's not just churches, though, that are desolate. It's our people. Never seen so many depressed, discouraged, really even depraved people. Three D's. That's alliteration for you preacher guys. Three D's. You know, I think for so long we have pressed. I've seen it. We've pressed and pressed for church growth. Let's grow. So they'd have a church growth seminar. And then they created a church growth institute. From time to time, I get a magazine that is a church growth magazine. But in doing so, I think we have sacrificed the heart of the gospel. So what's happened is we've opened up the door so wide and forgotten to tell people to repent. Because if we tell them to repent, they might not return. So they join our churches. And you have a church role filled with unregenerate people. You wonder why business meetings are tough? Some people that don't know the Lord in there. Youth ministry. Let's talk about youth ministry a minute. When I came through, I'm 42 years old. You know, it used to be a lot of fun when you were the young preacher. I'm not the young preacher anymore. Same age that Elvis was when he died, 42. His mother also was 42 when she died. I don't know why that's a little tidbit of worthless knowledge for you this morning. Youth ministry, it used to be we would do all we could do to get as many kids there and count them. If we could get a stray dog to walk by, we'd count that dog too. And so you've seen it in your churches. I've seen it in mine. You've seen it in your churches where kids will be baptized once and twice and three times. It just doesn't take. Why is that? Because we've pressed and pressed and pressed, forgotten to give the gospel. Our people, and listen, I stand guilty, man. I'm serving a church like that. Our people need the gospel. In fact, this fall, we're going to take our church through that little book Greg Gilbert wrote, What is the gospel? It's going to be our Sunday school curriculum. And I'm going to preach through that. And then we'll say, okay, well, how do you share the gospel? And then when we get to 2012, we're going to go through the Bible. Just preach through the Bible. We're going to all change over to ESV version. That's right. That'll be a monumental shift at our church, by the way. And teach people the Bible. The church is desolate. People are desolate. Ministers, preachers. Dr. Aiken deals with this, I'm sure. How many phone calls I'll get during a month's time of pastors that are just looking for somewhere else to go. Beat down or eaten up or worn out or just won't out of the ministry, or the heartbreak of a moral failure. Moral failure. Listen, if you ever pray for Clint Presley, that's my name, pastor at Hickory Grove, pray for his personal holiness, that he doesn't do anything that's going to bring dishonor to the Lord Jesus. Because if you're a pastor and you fall, you don't just hurt your family, you hurt the cause of Christ. In fact, you hurt what I'm trying to do, so don't do it, all right? Moral failures, lack of personal holiness, or rock star. There's this sort of rock star mentality. Because of the size of my church, I run in a circle sometimes with guys that serve these big giant churches. And they're rock stars. And I don't know what to do with that. When did you get so big you couldn't return a phone call? Well, you guys are not rock stars, but you get the picture, right? You see, when we're in a dry situation, like Ezekiel, that's where God has put us. God is going to call some of you guys to go into these dead churches. He's going to call you to go where the bones are. And I've preached to these bones, I promise. It's no fun. Dr. Aiken, I know you've stood and preached to a valley of bones that didn't know they were dead. You see, God takes what seems impossible and He makes it a reality, but He always shows us. It's good to get a clear picture. Shows us what the picture is. Notice that He brings us to the point of decision in verse 3. That's a great little verse, verse 3. God always brings us to the point of decision. As Ezekiel stood amidst the bones, bleached white by the sun, God thunders the question. Son of man, do you believe that these bones can live? God always calls the question. He's saying to Ezekiel, do you believe that I can do this? Look around at the bones, Ezekiel. They're not even connected to one another. I mean, there's no flip. There's nothing to resuscitate. When I was at Dolphin Way, by the way, the church is healthy now. Thank God for that. And they got a great pastor, Adam Dooley, doing just tremendously. When I was at Dolphin Way, there's a room in that church that's lined, it's where all the deacons would meet. It's lined with all the former pastors since 1904. It's like a wall of fame, except there are four walls of fame. And there are guys that are on the wall there. Herschel Hobbs is up there, wrote the Baptist Faith and Message, president of the convention, great hero. J. Roy Weber, who was such an innovator, he was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Jerry Vines, who was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Darrell Robinson, the great evangelist, vice president. And then a picture of me. One of these kids is not like the other. In fact, when I was at my first year as a pastor at Dolphin Way at the Southern Baptist Convention, I introduced myself. My name's Clint Presley. I'm senior pastor at Dolphin Way. And invariably, people would say one of two things. A lot of people would say to me, wasn't that Jerry Vines' church? Yeah, that's Jerry Vines' church. He used to preach there. But the second one was the one that hurts. I would say, Clint Presley, senior pastor at Dolphin Way. Oh, I know Dolphin Way. That used to be a great church. Yeah. I'm the pastor of the used-to-be great church. July 2003, with 240 people sitting in a 2,500-seat sanctuary, the Lord asked in my heart this question. Do you believe I can do what you've been studying about? The question on the table for some of you guys is going to be, Do you believe that God has called you, that He will provide for you? It's the one we all have got to grapple with. Listen, man, don't stand around thinking, okay, doing the math, how am I going to provide for my family? Do you believe that God called you there? The Lord will provide for you. There comes a point where we've got to push out all of our degrees and our abilities, push aside what the location is, your great intellect, whatever your theological persuasion. It's always a question of faith. God asked Ezekiel what seems like an absurd question. There is no good answer that he could give the Lord. Son of man, can these bones live? I mean, if he said yes, it sounds presumptuous. If it says no, it sounds like he doesn't have any faith. So he did what any good preacher / politician would do. Threw it right back on the Lord. Do you believe these can live? Only you know, Lord. Threw it back to him. You know what he's saying? You're the sovereign God. And if it can happen, you will have to do it. That's the answer you need to give. You're the sovereign one. I can't say it can. I can't say it can. All I can do is what you call me to do. If it's going to happen in your ministry, you and I must learn to believe that only God can do it. Now look at me. Don't be afraid to take on something that seems impossible. Don't be afraid to go somewhere where there's not a church. Some of you losers that Joe was talking about, you need to meet with him. Don't be afraid to go to the dead church and seek the Lord to bring it back to life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go to that foreign place. Your parents, any moms and dads here, don't freak out when she comes home and says, I'm going to the Middle East to share the gospel. Be proud. Don't be afraid. You see, with our sovereign Lord, He invites us to stand in the middle of the impossible and watch Him work. Some of you are at a point of decision in your church or in your ministry or in your thoughts about ministry. And your question is, how are we going to make it? Cost too much money. If we move up there, am I going to find a job? You've got to decide, did God call me to this or not? If He called you, then just abandon it. You see, God gives us a real picture and He brings us to the point of decision. And when you make the decision, God always blesses obedience. Always. I'm sure what I mean. In verse 4 and following, God gives Ezekiel some instructions that really seem absurd in light of the situation. He's standing in this congregation of dry bones, the same one that I have stood in before. And He says to him, preach. Verse 4, look. He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to these bones that don't even have any ears because they rotted off. Say to these bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And it goes on to verses 5 and 6. And He tells them what to say and what to preach. Can you imagine, Ezekiel? You want me to stand and preach the bones. I mean, isn't there a seminar we can put these bones in? Isn't there some sort of program? Is there a method? Somehow we can help these bones? Maybe then they can find their best life now. Can we put something together for them? There's no program. Look at the command. Verse 4. Stand and preach. Listen to me, guys. Success in church life and ministry must be based on God's Word. There is a tremendous amount of pressure on young ministers to somehow make Jesus relevant. And I don't want to quibble about that. I mean, my goodness, you came here today, Matt Papa, dressed like he is, and me in this suit. Every time I walk by and hear somebody say, why you got that suit on? Next time I come, I won't have a suit on. You know what? I probably will have a suit on next time I come. Let's not quibble about that stuff. I don't think that's where the emphasis must be. But the success of the movement, of our movement, must be rising and falling on what we do with the Word of God. You're going to open up the Bible, read it and explain it. Read it and explain it. Great movement in our seminaries, thank God for it, is verse-by-verse exposition of Scripture. Listen, if you're a gospel preacher, don't drag up on Sunday. I don't know why I'm asking you permission. I've heard you speak before, and you say anything, so I'm going to say it. I was getting ready to ask you, but there's no use in asking. Don't drag up on Sunday if you're a gospel preacher and say that you don't have a word from the Lord. I mean, if nothing else, man, just stand up and read the Bible to your people. Let them have God's word. And if you can't find a word from God, just turn your Bible in. Dr. Aiken will be down here. Just turn your Bible in. You don't deserve it. You see, our success is not the numbers, not how the church grows. You know what the calls I had from my preacher friends? Want to talk about Easter Sunday? How many people were there? Success is based on the Word, but not just based on the Word. Success must be focused on God. I mean, look at verses 5 and 6. When he tells Ezekiel to preach, notice what he says. Here is the content of the message in verses 5 and 6. Notice the dominant presence of God. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you that you might come to life. I will put sinews on you and cause flesh to come on you and skin, and I'll put breath in you. You see that we must continually drive our people to focus on God. We must take them to Christ, point them to Christ. God says to Ezekiel, you do the preaching, I will do the converting. I'll do the changing. I think one of the negatives of the church growth movement was that we put so much focus on us. Let's see how professional and clean and polished and make sure everything is just right. And not enough focus on the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. Why not preach the gospel? One of the positive trends, and there are lots of positives, coming out of this movement, especially out of the Reformed, young Reformed guys, is this unbelievable focus on the sovereignty of God, the grace of God, and salvation. The gospel. In short, this business that we're in, this is God's business. And so we go to Him and we point people to Him and we read about Him and we plead with Him and we make sure our people are focused on the cross. Focused on God, based on the Word. But there's one other element. We are dependent on His Spirit. And in verses 7 and 8, I mean, he preaches, and God, remember, God blesses obedience, so he preaches and bones are flying and they're being connected and dust is being kicked up, and it's a crazy scene. And by the time you read it in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and bones are coming together, bone to its bone. And verse 8, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. I mean, he preached, and it started to happen. And if you're a good preacher, lots of stuff might start happening. Be careful how you count success. Be careful what success looks like, because when you look at verse 8, there's something missing. It's right there at the end of verse 8. Ezekiel says, I preached, and all these bodies came together. But you'll notice in verse 8, there was no breath. No, the Hebrew word ruach, it's spirit, wind, breath. There's no spirit in them. You know what he's got? He's got a whole army of dead people. A whole lot happened. But they were still dead. In ministry, be careful how you count success. And so to this vast dead army, God says, all right, Ezekiel, now call on the wind of God to come. Call on the Spirit to come in and breathe on these slain. Verse 9, notice it with me. Then he said to me, prophesy to the Ruach. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, same word, and breathe on these slain so that they might come to life. So he did. You know, this passage is in some way related to the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You remember the conversation where they're talking about being born again, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born of water and of spirit. Jesus told him, the wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Listen. Don't be afraid when God calls you to do something crazy or impossible. Some ministry, some dead church. Don't be afraid. Remember your success based on God's Word. Found and pointing people to God. Focused on God. And dependent on His Spirit. My friends, God will take the impossible. Don't be afraid. There's a lot more to say. God will take the impossible. He will make it a reality. He'll give you the real picture, and some of the situations will be bad. He'll call you to make a decision. Do you believe? And then He will bless your obedience. Our sovereign God takes what is impossible and makes it a reality. Let me pray for you as we close together. Would you join me as we pray? Father, thank you for the students that are here, for the men and women that have pledged their lives to serve you. Father, I pray that you would give them great strength. Lord, I pray that you would use them for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I pray for students and prospective students wrestling with the call. Lord, would you show yourself in a real way? And in this luxury, Lord, as we think about the gospel, we look toward the West to families that are hurting, Georgia and Alabama, and we pray for them. We pray, Lord, that you would minister the gospel to their hearts and that their needs would be met. We pray you would use us in a way that honors you. Thank you, Lord, for the seminary. Thank you for a great day worshiping. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.